This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Could he play in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where they are right now in terms of their quarterback situation with Russell and Justin and Aaron. I think a decision has to be made. You know, what's the future plan and what is the plan in the interim? I think there's got to be also a sense of urgency and taking, you know, some guys on the back end of their careers, T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward. They're in the latter stages of their career, so they want to win now, and that's a big part of what they want to do. But you also got to have a plan moving forward and at that position. So I think there'll be dialogue there, but those be conversations taking place in that building.
That's Bill Cowher on the Steelers, who might be going to Aaron Rodgers. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe with you.
Did you see Filippone in the last half hour on
What's
the
that?
Steelers? Did you see what? Andrew Filippone on the Steelers in the last like half hour or so?
Not in the last half hour, no.
He tweeted, this is from Ryan Burr, who is NBC Sports and also the Big Ten Network. Filippone is tweeting about the Steelers have contacted the Jaguars about Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, wow.
And that it would be a first and a second round pick that they would be willing to part with for Trevor Lawrence.
Wow.
And now he has a Photoshop picture of Trevor Lawrence. And so it's just Andrew right now looking at this. But That's an idea I had not even thought about that I guess doesn't seem that crazy, does it?
It depends if Jacksonville wants to start again and try rookie quarterback route with Liam Cohen. That's super interesting. If I'm Lawrence, I'm loving the idea of Liam Cohen and would not want to leave, and Brian Thomas Jr. And like they shouldn't be this bad. They shouldn't be this underwhelming in Jacksonville, and the right coach could probably set it in the right direction. But if he doesn't like Lawrence, that's very interesting. Lawrence in Pittsburgh. I mean,
like, if I'm him, I wonder what I would, because the stink of the Jaguars in general, like, you know what I mean? Like, the brand of it and, you know, the ownership in Jacksonville versus, like, how would a guy like Trevor Lawrence view Mike Tomlin and Pittsburgh? Like, it might just feel more stable.
Yeah.
You know, like, he might feel like everything over there works. They just need a quarterback. So if I go there, that's it. Like, where I don't, it depends, right? I don't know what he thinks of Liam Cohen or what he thinks of the ownership, and, you know, they don't have a GM right now. I know that Jacksonville doesn't have a very good reputation as an NFL franchise.
Right. Jeremy and Joe with you. Good morning.
They could trade him, by the way. All the cap stuff is, like, easily.
Okay.
$30 million in dead cap if the Jaguars did it with a pre-June 1, $7.5 million in dead cap if they did it post-June 1. So they could pretty easily trade him if someone said they're going to give him a ton. So I don't know.
All right. If you can, if you're watching us on the feed, I've got new lighting today. I've also kind of rearranged the old home office. I'm here on Thursdays.
Yeah. And, we got some diplomas back there. What do
I've
we got?
I've got my diploma. I've got my wife's law degree on the board. It's, you know, she does her calls down here, too, so it's got to be like a little bit of a mix.
Yeah, I see the Syracuse orange mascot back there.
Yes, there's some Syracuse stuff. I did bring some stuff down to show you because this is the kind of stuff you can't see if you're too far away.
Yeah.
So I've got this to show you, which is the Pebble Beach bag tag. Not
bad.
Oh,
nice. Yeah. Nice.
Pebble Beach bag tag. And then there's the Spyglass Hill bag tag that goes there as well.
Is that what you do for all these courses? You come the bag tag?
Like, yeah, yeah. You grab one of these. Here's Firestone bag tag. Yeah, it's a good thing to do. And then this is the best one because at Sawgrass, you get a bag tag that is personalized. When my father-in-law and I went to Sawgrass, so you see it like it's the Island Green, the bag tag?
Yeah.
For those of you watching on the feed, you'll see this. If you have a good score, they will etch the score on the green right there. Like you can write a 2.
Yeah, okay.
Or a 3. And what number do I have on there, Joe?
Where is it? Where's the number? Hold on, I don't see it.
That's right. We didn't put a number on that.
Oh, there's no number. You I feel like you should have, even if it
you
was
don't
a bad
write down
number.
You don't write down a 5.
Put 8 down on it. Yeah.
That's fine.
Let everyone know you went through it. You went through the ringer of
it wasn't
the,
even the ringer.
Island Green and Sawgrass.
I actually have the scorecard from Sawgrass up here, and it is the scorecard that you save because you played Sawgrass, not because you played well. I'd forgotten what I shot until I opened it up, and it's a 102. It was a brutal day for me that day. There's no reason to have shot a 102. It's,
I mean,
you know,
tough golf course, I'm sure.
Sure, sure it is. Anyway, 803-0550. So yeah, I got the yardage book if you want to see that. Like, that's pretty cool. You know, some of
nice.
The stuff. There's the 17th green and how it all plays out. So whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm trying to make this place look a little nicer. I feel like I'm Mr. Rogers now. Come on in, take a look.
I think it's the right combo of smarts and sports right now behind you.
Sure,
say.
The law degree and all that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, out the rest of this this area down here is not smarts or sports. It's just, you know, child hurricane hit. That's pretty much
the other side of it.
Yeah, the other side of it is just like, I mean,
a jungle gym, basically.
It's a jungle gym and a ball pit and everything. Yeah. It's like someone shook up the house like a snow globe on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, James Cook wants $15 million.
And he's unfollowed the Bills on Instagram. Sound the alarms.
What's the next step in the playbook?
For him?
To go on a podcast and say he thinks he's worth it?
That's next, yep.
Is that the next step?
Yep.
Speaking of which, before we get to our fun little draft, A.J. Brown posted yesterday, and this is going to be my little soapbox speech for everybody if you want it. Did you see what A.J. Brown posted?
No.
Good.
Was it a book recommendation?
No.
He had one at the Super Bowl. Did you see it? He had a book at the Super Bowl.
His teammates brought it.
Oh, did they?
He said they played a trick on him, and his teammates brought
it. I see. Okay.
So A.J. Brown posted yesterday a very thoughtful thing that lets you into his inner workings, and it was super interesting. It's going to be like an eye of the beholder moment. So he posted on Instagram, A.J. Brown. Here's the quote. It's a picture of him catching a touchdown and walking to the end zone, and he wrote, "After a few days, I've had time to reflect on being a champion. I tried to feel how everyone made it seem to be a champion, and unfortunately, it was short-lived. 2 days, to be exact, LOL. I'd never been a champion at the highest level before, but I thought my hard work would be justified by winning it all. It wasn't. My thrill for this game comes when I dominate. It's the hunt that does it for me. It's when the DB drops his head and surrenders because he can't bleep with me. The intense battles, early mornings, late nights, sacrifices. I love putting smiles on people's faces. Don't get me wrong. It just wasn't what I thought it would be. It's the journey that I love the most. Back to work."
Okay.
Thoughtful, right?
Yeah.
Not all that surprising. And what did I see? Dozens of people taking that to mean.
That he's a me guy that wants the ball?
Yeah. Can you imagine being so obsessed with being a wide receiver me guy person that you take a post about it's about the sacrifices and practice and dedication and every single and making that about how he wants targets? that what he wrote there, to me that sounds like something Kobe Bryant would say. Like, we won the title. 2 days later, I'm in the gym. I have to get better. I love the sacrifices. I love the late nights. There's just nothing more than complete and total dedication to being great.
Yeah.
And because he's a wide receiver, people run with that like, oh, wow, look at that. He's not even happy. He's not even happy they won, which is nuts.
He also tweeted, Brady always says his favorite ring is the next one. The double standards are crazy. So maybe is he talking about the people that are responding to him with like you're a mean
yes.
guy that wants the ball?
Yes, 100%. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
We won. 48 hours later, I want to get back out there and be great.
Yeah.
How on earth you've got, listen, I have the exact opposite end of the spectrum of this disease. If you've got the wide receivers are diva diseases, you can't see straight sometimes. You just can't see through it. Here is a guy flat out telling you, I love sacrifices, early mornings, late nights, working hard. And you're like, wow, this guy.
Yeah. What if Brady had done the same thing?
Absolutely.
It would be treated as, oh, this is Jordan. This is the guy who wants to win every single title.
After reading this, I searched quotes from Kobe on greatness. Like, let's play the game, what if Kobe said it, right? Because,
yeah.
And his quote, I actually went ahead and found one. One of the quotes from Kobe was, let me find it here as I was looking. He wrote, I think greatness is more of a mindset than it is an actual goal that you have reached. Which is exactly what A.J. Brown just said. I got to the mountaintop. I thought it would feel different. It doesn't. It's about the journey.
Yep.
Mamba mentality, you know? So good for him.
Mentality unless you're a wide receiver.
And unless you're a wide receiver, in which case wanting to be great is a problem.
When did this start? Is this all T.O.'s fault?
No.
Like, when did this happen?
You know what? This is a good question. There is a moment in time that is like a benchmark. At one game with the Vikings, the Randy ratio. Fox put a graphic on the screen about how they had to get the ball to Randy Moss, like the Randy ratio. And I feel like people remembered that for 30 years.
Huh. Okay.
It might be – it's Keyshawn Johnson wrote a book called Give Me the Damn Ball. That might have been a part of it.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's – you know, these guys want the ball because they're great, and they do their job. And if they're not getting the ball, they say, how come you're not doing your job?
Right.
It's the only position where – if you ask why someone else isn't doing their job, it's a negative. You know, these guys want to win. Tight ends want to win. Tackles want to win. Defensive ends want to win. Corners want to win. I mean, when a corner turns and, you know, puts his arms out for a safety that wasn't there, like, wow, look at that guy calling out his safety. Like, oh, maybe he is saying, buddy, that's your job. You have to be better here.
Yeah.
So it's kind of unique to football where the idea of getting mad your teammates are not pulling their weight is seen as a negative. Not even that that's what Brown did. Brown just said he demands the best from himself. And he's a guy, A.J. Brown is, that has been outspoken about mental health. And when he was in Tennessee, he talked about that, how at one point in his life he considered taking his own life. He talked about it with a reporter. Like, he's an introspective guy that is – to lay all that out and to write all that on Instagram and have it be taken as, like, diva, it's kind of stunning to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, there you go. There's my little soapbox, A.J. Brown. He's great. Probably a Hall of Famer, right?
Yes. He needs to do more, probably, but yes, he's a Hall of Famer, right?
I think so. He's got a lot of career left.
He's got, he's 27.
Is he the third best receiver in football?
He's a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Sterling Sharp almost has the same career, and he just made it. He'll have 5 more years, probably, at least.
Yep.
You know, maybe Sean, 3 more playing at this level.
Sean writes in, Jerry Maguire has a big influence on wide receiver discourse. Yes, Rod Tidwell.
Oh,
show
okay.
Show me the money. I got it. Yeah, might be right.
Yep.
We definitely have an ecosystem where, I mean, it pays the bills.
Well, it's the only position where you actually have to ask for the ball. Like, it's the only position where you really need you are 100% dependent on somebody else for the opportunity to do your job, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I guess running back, you say that too, because you need the coach to decide to give it to you. But you can do your job and win a rep, and you still might not get anything for it because you might not get the ball thrown your way. Where again, like every other, you do your job as a running back when you have the ball, you're going to get the yards every time. If you do your job as a quarterback, you're going to get the yards. And if it's in another sport, like, you know, you don't have to really, if you are Steph Curry, you don't have to rely upon someone else to give you the ball every single time you come up the court to shoot a three-pointer.
Right. It helps. Teammates, of course, help you.
But this, it's like it's 100% dependent on the quarterback's got to recognize that you have done your job, and then they have to throw you an accurate pass before you can get the numbers, before you can get, you know, the, get any value of you've done your thing.
And my favorite thing to point out is if you don't ask for the ball and you never get the ball, then people think you didn't do your job.
Right.
I got open all day, but they didn't throw it to me, so people think I didn't play. You know,
yeah. There's a lot that goes into it. Brown would be a Hall of Famer for me. Is Hurts a Hall of Famer?
Not yet.
No. Not yet.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
He's been to two. He's won one. You know, usually you don't have to do a lot more than that.
I just casually threw out AJ Brown, the third best receiver in football. He might be like between three and six.
The best receivers in football are Chase
and Jefferson.
Jefferson and Brown. Is that the top three?
I mean, Nico is near the top.
Yep.
Puka is near the top.
I think Neighbors is going to be near the
Neighbors
top very quickly.
Neighbors is a freak show.
He might need a quarterback, though, before he starts getting that recognition.
Yep. You know, there's a lot of different jobs out there and guys that succeed in different ways.
Puka, yeah, top three, four, five,
Puka's
I guess.
Puka's great, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. It's just, no, I don't want McVay. Like, I wonder about how much easier it is when McVay is just going to get you open, but we saw in the Bills game, like, Puka will make the play even when he's not open. Like, he's ridiculous.
803-0550. Joe and I have a fun game to play, and it's time to play it.
Let's go. Coaching?
So, yes. NFL coaching carousel. This is the closest I can get to what I want with that fantasy game where we draft coordinators.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's not going to happen. But this year in the offseason, there were 7 coaching openings. 7 have been filled.
Okay.
Let's predict the 6 coaching openings next year that will have changes. Like, what teams will change their coach by this time next year? We don't have to predict who's going to get the job. Just who's getting fired.
Yep, who's getting fired. Who's going to – well – or just any change?
Any change.
Any change. Any change.
Sure, any change. You want to predict Andy Reid retires, you can go for it.
Yep.
But yeah, the 6 openings next year will be, and we'll draft them. Josh has told me that you get the first pick, so we'll snake draft it.
Okay.
The 6 coaching openings next year.
I think the number one pick for this is almost got to be Brian Daboll. So the Giants.
Yeah,
I would pick the Giants to have a coaching change.
It would have been my top pick.
Yeah, like, it could go well if they trade for Matt Stafford. Like, I would expect that goes pretty well. But right now we're sitting with an owner that it wouldn't have been surprising had they done it already, and they don't have a current quarterback. So I feel like very, very tight rope to start the season.
Yeah, so the Giants might not be the most likely to have a bad season, but every team that might have a bad season either has a coach that's been there and made the playoffs or is new.
Right.
You know, like, if you like the Browns for a pick, Kevin Stefanski has made the playoffs and won multiple coaches of the year. They could be bad, but he has some equity built up. And Daboll did make the playoffs, but that was a couple years ago.
Yep.
I think that's probably a good first pick. All right, I'm up next. I'm going to take the Dolphins.
Oh, also on my board. Hi. Yeah.
Mike McDaniel, he could have a good year where they win 9 games and still get fired. It feels like he is just in a tenuous spot. I think he's a good offensive mind. I don't know what they're doing defensively in Miami, what's happening there. Their season, of course, fell apart. If Tua is always one injury away. I just think stagnation for Miami could mean – an end for McDaniel.
You just got to win. You got to win. The owner is poured everything into winning right now.
You've got to stay close to the Bills in the division. You got to contend. And I my first pick is Miami, so I'm going to go with Miami.
All right.
My second pick. These are coaching openings we expect to see next season. I'll take, this might be off the board a bit. I want to save this maybe. I'm leaning.
Who are you picking? You're picking McDermott?
No, I'm leaning on the Bucks. I'm leaning on the Bucks.
Ooh, really? Okay.
Their offensive-minded coach left, and Liam Cohen resurrected Baker Mayfield. And if Baker doesn't have a good season because his offensive coordinator left, could Todd Bowles be shown the door? I think it's possible. But I'm not going to do that.
You're not doing that. Okay.
I'm not. I'm picking the Cowboys. Brian Schottenheimer, one and done.
Wow.
Somebody sexy will come on the market. The Cowboys missed that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The Cowboys missed the open market. They kept
Mike McCarthy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I'm getting old. They kept Mike McCarthy because they thought they were going to keep him. Then he walked away from his contract basically because they wouldn't pay him, and they had no choices. So a year from now, they will not have a good season. There'll be disappointment again, and they will see all of the hot coordinators. Maybe that's a Joe Brady or insert names here. I'll take the Cowboys as my second pick.
Interesting. I don't think I would. The only thing I would worry about is that Schottenheimer is just a yes man, and that's all that Jones needs at this point. Like, he's Garrett 2.0. All right, I will take for my next pick Indianapolis. I like Steichen, but I've got a combo of year three, you're trying to develop the quarterback, the quarterback is very unpredictable, and you have a pretty unpredictable owner as well on top of it. I think that's an environment for a coaching change, even though I like Steichen. I think there are some things to like about him. I think he's kind of been sunk by the quarterback not really being all that good so far. So
next,
I'll take Indy.
Give me the Cardinals. Oh, sorry, you're up next. You get two in a row.
That's fine. I wasn't going to take the Cardinals anyway.
Okay, I'm going to take the Cardinals when it's my turn.
All right. I'm going to stick in the division. Yeah, I do. I'm going to take Brian Callahan in Tennessee.
Yep. He's on my board.
I think they're going to be really bad.
He's on my board. The only thing that could work for him is if the rookie quarterback looks good for them.
Yeah.
And there's a belief that he's a big part of bringing that guy along. But yeah.
But on the other hand, if it looks like what it looked like with the Bears this year, and like the rookie quarterback is there, and you know, it just is ugly, like they might think, okay, well, if we want a different voice for this quarterback, we better do it now. We better not waste more time. So, Callahan.
Give me the Cardinals. Titans. Jonathan Gannon entering year three. They are competitive. Their division is tough. If the Niners get back on track, they could finish fourth. Kyler Murray, it might be time to really turn it all over if it doesn't go well there.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, if you look at the standings, like look at the draft order. Teams that fired their coach and have a new coach entering this year are picking fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, ninth, tenth, 12th.
Yep.
Like they are all the bad teams. They're all there. And if you're trying to find seven or eight coaches that could be fired next year, it's not that far until you get to guys like Tomlin or Kyle Shanahan. No, you get to Zach Taylor.
But the reason I didn't, he was on my board. I did not pick him just because I don't know if the Bengals owner cares enough. He got Marvin Lewis for 17 years.
And it's also not his fault. Like, if you're not going to pay and you're going to miss on picks on defense, I'm going to fire my offensive coach for that? Like, it's definitely not his fault. They won five in a row to end the season. He had a great offensive year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, after the names we were at, Joe, you're at, Dave Canales, I guess?
If it doesn't go
great for Bryce Young in Carolina. But he played very well.
Yep.
So it's
it's Tomlin getting traded.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
It's that. It's It maybe is Kellen Moore going one and done if it's just like a one or two win season in New Orleans.
I mean,
that's possible.
Is D'Amico Ryans a crazy answer here?
Maybe a little bit. What about Sean Payton?
It's going well. They just drafted a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Like anybody that we didn't mention, I think you have to work hard and it would be considered a pretty big upset.
We did mention Stefanski. Like, Stefanski, I think same thing that I mentioned with Steichen. I think Stefanski's a good coach, but I don't know. Are they giving him a brand new clean slate with whoever they draft in the first round? Like, does he have to win, or has he got, you're a former coach of the year, we're kind of tearing it down a little bit, we stuck you with Watson, we're going to give you a couple of years with Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, whoever.
Listen. He's been a good coach. We've seen a lot of good coaching from Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. And they've saddled him with Jameis Winston and Joe Flacco and Deshaun Watson. If the rookie is any good, I think it's easy for him to find more space.
Yeah. The other option would have been picking Jim Harbaugh because for some cheating allegation that he gets fired over.
Right. All right, there you go. There's our next six openings drafted.
Dolphins, Cowboys, Giants, Colts, Cardinals, and Titans.
Chris Trapasso texts in. What about Raheem Morris in Atlanta if Michael Penix doesn't take a step?
Good. Not bad.
I think it's it would only be
had that written down. That would have been one of my next picks.
Yeah, it would only be year two.
Right? Yeah, year two, though.
It's year
It would have to be bad. It would have to be really bad, right?
But, I mean, it's year two, and I've got to – I mean, Michael Penix, he kind of got the Mahomes season, right, where he played at the very end, and then year one comes in year two.
Well,
if it does, how good am I expecting it to be?
Is that what he's getting judged on, or – like, his defense, he's a defensive-minded coach, right? His defense was terrible last year.
Right.
If Penix looks even good, but they're losing games because the dude's giving up 35 a game on the defensive side, like, that could look very poor on him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an honorable mention. It's worth mentioning. 803-0550 to join us, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. U.S. and Finland tonight in the four nations, the confrontation de nations,
yes,
which is a way better way to say it. It's on the ice there in Montreal. Give us a ring if you want, if you have a thought on the coaching conversation. McDermott not mentioned, not surprised. I wouldn't put him in the top six personally. 803-0550 to join us here on WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I think you got to lock a player like that up. You can't let him leave the building. He's still fresh. And I think keeping him and Josh Allen together, I think that's the future of the offense. You know, you drafted Keon. You know, you got all the puzzles put together right there. And I think he's just still scratching the surface. He's still a young back. And as you look at his numbers, they only on the rise. They steady going up. So for me, when you look at a young player and you get a young talent like that, I think you got no choice but to lock him up for the next few years and give him that comfort of you're here, you're Bill. You know, let's go keep winning.
Dalvin Cook on his brother, James Cook. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Just reading a Bill Barnwell piece at ESPN.com. He breaks down basically every NFL team and where they would stand in the Myles Garrett sweepstakes.
Okay.
Teams that won't trade for Garrett, AFC North teams. Ravens, Bengals, Steelers. Like they just The Browns probably won't do that. And it's just take them out. Teams that don't need edge rushers, take them out. Broncos, Texans, Rams, don't need them, okay? He takes out the teams that are not competitive because Garrett wants to go to a contender and extend, okay, take them out. Teams that could be involved in a Garrett trade as a third party, none makes sense as a landing spot. He lists the Giants and the Jets here and the Vikings. Just the idea that, you know, they've got some pieces locked up. It just doesn't make sense. Okay, on to the next group.
Mm-hmm.
Unlikely but plausible teams that should have a conversation. Arizona, Atlanta, Dallas, Green Bay, mm-hmm. Kansas City, Miami, San Francisco, Seattle, Tampa. And then the teams that Garrett puts over the top, maybe. Bills, Lions, Chargers, Eagles. And he lists three that he thinks are perfect spots. Chicago, Indianapolis, in Washington.
Ooh.
So he puts the Bills basically in the top seven for fits for all the criteria.
Was one of his criteria him wanting to go to a Super Bowl contender or no?
Yes. He wants to win a Super Bowl.
And yet he put Indy and Chicago on the perfect fits?
Yeah.
Is that not a little strange?
What he writes about Indy,
I just picked Indy to have their coach fired by the end of next year, but so clearly that's my opinion. Like I don't. Richardson could be great, but I don't know. That seems like a sure thing there. Like is
right
to me. That doesn't sound any different than what he's got in Cleveland right now. I got a good offensive coach, and I've got an unproven quarterback that's coming in.
Well, he basically what he does is he. He lists the teams that are Super Bowl contenders that he could win with.
Yeah.
And with the other three, all three of those, Washington, Chicago, and Indy, they all have rookie quarterback deals.
I see.
I mean, okay. You might not like Indy. Was Chicago any closer to winning a Super Bowl? We'll see how Ben Johnson works out. And
yeah.
I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. But the Bears certainly don't have, we're a Super Bowl contender for you, Myles Garrett, but it might be a fit.
Like I guess the reason why I wouldn't put those two teams in is, and this is, I don't know what Myles Garrett thinks of them, but my hunch would be the way he's talked that he would tell the Colts, or that the Colts and the Bears wouldn't get him to commit to an extension when they traded for him. Right. So would they be able to outbid everybody else if maybe, like, would the Colts be willing to spend two first-round picks plus if they didn't know if Myles Garrett was going to stay long-term? Right. Versus, like, that's where, like, I guess for me, Washington is the one perfect fit because they have a rookie quarterback deal, and it's easy to sell him on, oh, we could win the Super Bowl because they were just in the NFC Championship.
That's right. It's easier to sell that. The thing about Washington that's nice for the Bills. So Barnwell also breaks down the history of big, big trades like this and stars that got traded and what was the price.
It
includes Tyreek Hill, a first, a second, and a fourth, and a fourth and a sixth. Like there was a big price. He includes DeAndre Hopkins and Darrell Revis got a first and a fourth. Richard Seymour was a 2011 first-round pick. Randy Moss, a first and a seventh and a linebacker. Eric Dickerson, three firsts, three seconds in a three-way trade that I learned today included the Bills. I did not know the Dickerson trade between the Colts and the Rams included the Bills. So when he breaks that down, he says, what would it cost to get Garrett? His opinion is, if you offer like the 10th pick, that should just do it. The 10th pick is enough.
The 10th pick straight up?
Yes. That if you're offering where the Bills or the Commanders are, you're talking, okay, now it's a first and something.
Right.
Because two firsts for a guy – approaching 30. It just doesn't happen. And Tyreek Hill did not get two firsts. He got a first, a second, a fourth, and a fourth and a sixth in two back-to-back years. So that's a first and second, and then, you know, later picks. That's Tyreek Hill at the peak of his powers. I mean, he was incredible at that moment.
Yeah, so that's right.
He says, Barnwell says, it probably won't be multiple firsts unless it's a team that's at the end, like the Bills and the Commanders, and even then it might be a first and a second.
The one guy, does he mention Khalil Mack in there? As a guy that was... Because
yes.
Mack was traded for, I thought it was two first-round picks to Chicago when that happened. Or maybe I'm remembering it wrong. Maybe it was a first and a second that was the big price that he went for. But because he was 27, so he was a little bit younger, 2 years younger, which might matter big here. But that was two first-round picks. That's the closest you're getting.
They sent Mack with a second and sixth.
I see, okay.
So, yes, they did spend two firsts, but one of those, and this is important,
yeah.
One of those is a pick slide from the first to the second.
Right.
So
it's a trade down, really. So
there's a great spot where, wow, this looks like a big price, but in reality, if I just slid 15 spots, I didn't give up a first, I just slid.
Right. Which, if that's where, you know, the Bills would have to be to outbid others, like, hey, we're not just giving you two first-round picks straight up, but we would do two first-round picks if you're willing to do it more like that, where you're sending us a pick back, and you can still put on your... You can still put on your PR, like, hey, we acquired two first-round picks, and it might be remembered that way. I just remembered it as Mac just got traded for two first-round picks, but I'm still getting value back. Like, I'm not really just giving you them straight up. That might be a way to get closer and outbid teams that – I just wonder, is there one team that is willing to just give two first straight up? Is one team into it that much, Washington, whoever, they feel like, you know what, let's just do it. You know, one thing about Washington that happens a lot, this was a breakdown of them last year, I remember, a point being made, that if you look at any new ownership group throughout sports, what they do in their first, like, 24 months as owner, there's always a big identifying splash move somewhere. It just happened 2 weeks ago. In the other way, the Dallas Mavericks got a new owner a year ago, and they just traded their superstar player. It happens all over sports. And I think the point I remember being made about Washington was, you watch, like, at some point, that group, is it Adam Henry and Magic Johnson, like, they are going to want to do something huge. And more than just drafting Jaden Daniels second overall. So maybe, like, that could be an influence that is... Not just, hey, is this valuable enough? It might be more bigger picture, a team being willing to trade two firsts.
Interesting you say that. Can you think of another team that has new owners?
No. Who?
The Bills.
Oh. Right, okay.
The Bills have a couple new owners.
They have, yeah, sure. Yes.
And, hold on.
Yeah.
They certainly have something that they'd like to sell in the next 2 years. No?
Uh-huh.
PSLs.
PSLs.
How are we going to get people to commit to watching this team? We're close. Is there a final piece that pushes us across the line?
Yeah.
That gets people to buy these?
You got Vince Carter calling Brandon Bean daily? Like, what would you talk to Cleveland today? What'd they say?
Yeah.
Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, don't they own like 1%?
When they have a conference call and they're talking, I mean, if you just jumped in, you don't have a controlling interest, but aren't you going to be like, what are we doing? Let's have ourselves an offseason, fellas. What do we got?
Right. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
There's some new owners. You said new owners. All right. Extendo Sports coming up, and then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Now Jack Harrison tries to get it into the box. It just won't break. Now Mikalenko, he launches it high. They'll battle for it inside the penalty area. They need it again, and it does for Tarkowski. Oh, my word. What? gate to the Merseyside Derby. The final ever Merseyside Derby. And it's 2-2.
Sweet.
You thought you could escape.
Sweet.
There is no escape.
Just.
Everton's late equalizer against Liverpool.
Golf clap. Congratulations. The microcosm of Everton, the biggest moment in like 20 years for Everton, is drawing one of the top teams. Interesting. Yeah. Not like they live for that.
You're just mad that your coach got a red card for shaking the
that
ref's
hand.
That
was weird. I don't know why he... I guess he must have said something too. Yeah, the coach got a 2-game ban.
There were three red cards after the final
whistle. There
was
a card for an aggressive handshake.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I don't really care about Everton. Like I made this comparison on Twitter. It's like I'm Ohio State and Everton's Michigan, but they're not Michigan. They're Rutgers. Like, what? Why do I hate you? I know why I'm supposed to hate them. But.
You're not allowed to be mad because your team's gonna luck its way to the title like the Chiefs almost did. Yeah,
luck.
Yeah, not even the best team. They're gonna win it anyway.
They are absolutely the best team.
They're not better than Arsenal. Arsenal's season is cursed by injuries and nonsense red cards.
Listen to this guy.
Arsenal currently missing Martinelli, Jesus, Saka, and Havertz now for the year. Odegaard was out for a while. They've lost like 4 games on absolute nonsense red cards.
Listen.
And you're up 7. You will lose to them again. Arsenal's gone undefeated against City and Liverpool for like 3 years now. They're definitely the better team.
Listen.
And you're going to win it. And if there was a... You're just lucky there's no playoffs. If there were no playoffs,
Liverpool will be favored 100%.
Guess who wins the NFL if there's no playoffs? The Chiefs do. Instead, they got to a game and got exposed as, oh, you know what? Actually, you were not that good.
This
and
is
that's
not
what
the
would happen.
This is not
what would happen, sir, if Liverpool is forced to play Arsenal.
Like Liverpool never gets bad breaks against them, too. That goal that he just played yesterday was scored 3 minutes after stoppage time was supposed to end.
They were probably cheating along the way. I didn't see it, but they were probably cheating.
Stoppage time is a minimum requirement. It's not the
end-all, be-all. Gene Steratore telling me why Liverpool drew yesterday instead of won.
Listen, and all I said was, you're not allowed to be mad because you're going to win the title. And it's going to be, a bit of a joke.
I'm not mad at all. I think they're going to win it, and they're great. And they are literally the 07 Sabres right now because they're going to lose their best 3 players in the offseason, so they better win.
Good, because then Arsenal's going to win the next 3 titles after that.
It's very strange. It really is like Briere and Drury in first place on a contract year. Like, Liverpool's best 3 players are on a contract year. It's very unique. They have a better goal differential than Arsenal easily.
Congratulations. Arsenal's been missing really important
players.
This is not
the Chiefs winning 1-score games throughout the entire season.
Goal differential easily, he says. What's it like? It's 8 goals?
Yeah. Eight goals is a good number.
Yeah. Congratulations. Better hold on.
7-point advantage. They have 1 more game against Arsenal. When's that game?
I don't know. Chalk up a loss for you.
Wolves on Sunday. Gonna need that one.
Gonna lose to
Liverpool
Wolves.
Arsenal on May 10th, 10 a.m. Right.
Let's hope Arsenal doesn't have 10 more injuries.
I mean, by then they should be healthy, no?
I don't know. Saka's out for a while.
I'll be away for that.
Havertz and Jesus are out for a while.
I'll be in a bachelor party away that day.
I'll
have to get that game on somewhere.
All right, we're back tomorrow for a Football Friday. Speaking of soccer, we're going to talk with Peter Marlette of the Buffalo Pro Soccer Stadium Project. That'll be tomorrow. So we'll get a good look into what exactly is happening. Maybe you've heard some of the stories and all that, read some of it. We'll talk to Peter in studio tomorrow to get the full rundown of where things are, some of their partnerships with FC Buffalo, all that stuff to, maybe build a stadium downtown and get ourselves some USL soccer games. Till then, we'll chat tomorrow. Jeremy and Joe, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up here on WGR.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.